Tonight, the historic summit here in Geneva. President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin face to face. Vladimir Putin showing up on time, then President Biden arriving right after. Both shaking hands in front of the cameras. And then the two leaders holding separate news conferences afterward. President Biden saying, "I did what I came to do." What he said to President Putin on the cyber attacks back in the U.S. President Biden saying he made no threats, but Biden's warning on cyber attacks was the closest he came. You'll hear what he said. President Biden with Putin on election meddling, on strategic stability, nuclear talks, on human rights. Opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who was poisoned and who is now in prison. And the two former American Marines held in Russian jails. What we've learned about them tonight. One family reacting right here. And President Putin tonight calling the summit constructive. And when asked about President Biden, who once said he didn't think Putin had a soul, how Putin described Biden in that room today. And the moment our Rachel Scott, one of the few American journalists credentialed to ask Putin a question, she presses the Russian president, asking him why so many opposition leaders have ended up poisoned or killed. How Putin responds. Cecilia Vega, Martha Raddatz, and Rachel Scott all here tonight. Also tonight, the growing concern back home about the Delta variant in the U.S. Highly transmissible and in many cases, potentially more severe. Tonight described as COVID on steroids, what authorities are now seeing in the U.S. and what you should know as they now study at least 80 countries seeing mutations of this variant already. This historic heat in the U.S., 45 million Americans dealing with temperatures above 100. The hottest start to June on record in some places. Rob Marciano standing by again tonight. The kidnapping suspect shot and killed by FBI agents searching for a kidnap victim. And tonight, the cruise ship postponing its voyage. 8 crew members testing positive for COVID. They were vaccinated, but authorities now say it wasn't a full 2 weeks after that final shot when you're most protected.
From ABC News, this is ABC World News Tonight with David Muir, reporting tonight from the site of the summit in Geneva, Switzerland.
And good evening tonight from Geneva, a day of history here, the historic high-stakes summit. President Biden face-to-face with Vladimir Putin. Tonight we have new reporting here, details from inside the summit. President Biden saying, "I did what I came to do." He said he did not threaten President Putin, but he did warn him after cyber attacks back in the U.S. Biden telling Putin, "We have significant cyber capabilities in the U.S. He said Putin doesn't know what they are, but he knows the steps we could take if these cyber attacks continue. President Putin and President Biden shaking hands outside that historic chateau on Lake Geneva here, surrounded in highly secured park, cedar trees, 200 years old, a discreet location for these two leaders, but they knew the world was watching. Inside a small meeting, first President Biden and Secretary of State Antony Blinken, President Putin and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, both leaders and their body language studied by the world tonight, appearing comfortable with one another. They have met before 10 years ago, but of course, this is the first time since President Biden was elected and clearly his most important and most challenging meeting on the world stage yet. Afterward, President Putin was asked if there was hostility in the room. He said the contrary was true, that there was no hostility, he said. And Putin said on key issues, including cyber attacks, quote, "We can reach an agreement." President Biden then holding his own solo news conference, Biden revealing what he said to Putin about election meddling, about human rights, about nuclear talks and their shared responsibility, and about the two former American Marines held in Russian jails. And of course, that moment when Biden told Putin about the U.S. and its own capabilities when it comes to cyber warfare. Putin today denying the attacks came from Russia, and President Biden tonight not happy with the final question. A reporter here asking, "Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior?" Biden stopping and then answering, saying, "That is not what I said." The president making it clear this is not about trust. It is about what he sees in the coming months from Putin and from Russia. ABC's chief White House correspondent Cecilia Vega leading us off right here in Geneva tonight.
Today, after declaring U.S.-Russia relations had hit rock bottom, President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin shook hands in Geneva. Unlike past summits, Putin didn't keep the American president waiting. He was on time, the two men briefly appearing before the cameras.
I think it's always better to meet face to face.
After hours behind closed doors with their teams, the two leaders leaving separately, both calling their summit productive.
"I did what I came to do." And I must tell you, the tone of the entire meetings, I guess it was total of 4 hours, was good, positive. Where we disagreed, I disagreed, stated where it was. Where he disagreed, he stated. But it was not done in a hyperbolic atmosphere. That is too much of what's been going on.
President Biden says he warned Putin not to meddle in future American elections.
Bottom line is, I told President Putin that we need to have some basic rules of the road that we can all abide by.
He also raised human rights, Russia's poisoning and imprisonment of opposition leader Alexei Navalny.
I made it clear to President Putin that we'll continue to raise issues of fundamental human rights, because that's what we are. That's who we are.
And he confronted Putin about the issue on the minds of so many, the recent cyber attacks on American infrastructure by criminals based in Russia. One hit the U.S. meat supply, the other causing gas shortages and price spikes on the East Coast.
I pointed out to him we have significant cyber capability. And he knows it. He doesn't know exactly what it is, but it's significant. And if, in fact, they violate his basic norms, we will respond. I think that the last thing he wants now is a Cold War.
The president insists he did not issue threats, but he did ask the Russians this question.
What happens if that ransomware outfit were sitting in Florida or Maine and took action, as I said, on their single lifeline to their economy, oil? It'd be devastating. And they're like, you could see them kind of go, not we'd do that, but like, whoa.
President Biden says he gave Putin a list of 16 areas of critical infrastructure that should be off limits to attack, from the energy sector to the water supply. The two countries also agreeing to have high-level cybersecurity negotiations, though Putin still denies Russia harbors cyber criminals or engages in cyber warfare. Still, the Russian president saying there was no hostility at this summit.
He's very constructive. He's very balanced, just the way that I expected. He's very experienced. You can tell that at first glance. He talked about what his mom said. It shows the extent of his moral values, and that's all quite attractive.
Putin calling their conversation very open and frank.
We spoke the same language. That doesn't mean that we necessarily have to look into our eyes, look into our souls. We need to have eternal friendship and love.
President Biden says he's taking a wait-and-see approach.
We'll find out within the next 6 months to a year whether or not we actually have a strategic dialogue that matters.
He's called Putin a killer with no soul. So after that meeting today, I asked, has he now changed his mind?
You famously told him he didn't have a soul. Do you now have a deeper understanding of him after this meeting?
Thank you very much.
As the press conference ended, the president bristling at this question.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident changing behavior. What do you do over there?
So
when did I say I was confident? I said what will change their behavior is that the rest of the world reacts to them and it diminishes their standing in the world. I'm not confident of anything.
And Cecilia Vega with us live tonight right here in Geneva. And Cecilia, President Biden clearly unhappy with one of those final questions. He made it clear today that he says he's not confident that Putin will change. He says he doesn't trust Putin. In fact, he repeatedly said many different ways that it will take months, it'll take time to see whether relations between the U.S. and Russia actually improve.
6 months to a year, he says, David, to establish this meaningful dialogue on things that matter, everything from cybersecurity to human rights. You just said it. The president made it extremely clear today. He is under no illusion. This is not about trusting Vladimir Putin. President Biden says this is about verifying and then trusting. But we saw those handshakes today. We heard this tone today. You still heard the president say after all of that, this is about there is more work to do.
Cecilia Vega leading us off again tonight. Cecilia, thank you. And as you heard Cecilia report right there, President Biden also said he made it clear to Vladimir Putin that he would defend our democratic values and that, quote, human rights are always going to be on the table. And the moment today, our own Rachel Scott, one of the few American journalists credentialed to ask Putin a question after the summit, she presses the Russian president, asking him why so many opposition leaders have ended up poisoned or killed. And when Vladimir Putin did not directly answer her question, Rachel asked again. And here's how Putin responded.
You didn't answer my question, sir. If all of your political opponents are dead, in prison, poisoned, doesn't that send a message that you do not want a fair political fight?
Значит, по поводу того, кого убьют или в тюрьму
бросят. As for who is killing whom or throwing whom in jail,
люди вошли в Конгресс США.
People came to the U.S. Congress with political demands. 400 people. Over 400 people had criminal charges placed on them. They faced prison sentences of up to 20, maybe even 25 years. They're being called domestic terrorists. I'd like to stress once more that we sympathize with what happened in the United States, but we have no desire to allow the same thing to happen in our country.
And Rachel Scott is with us tonight as well. Rachel, President Biden was asked his reaction to that moment a short time later in his own news conference, and he had words for this.
David, he did. President Biden just flat out called it a ridiculous comparison. He says that you cannot compare those who are being prosecuted for breaking and entering the United States Capitol to those who are facing severe consequences simply because they are a political opponent of President Putin, David.
And Rachel, there was something else you reported to us today. You said in that room and throughout the day, you were surrounded with mostly Russian journalists, and you noticed that they were documenting your reporting when you were videotaping, and they even asked you what your message to Putin would be.
David, they really seem to be intrigued and fascinated by the American presence. I can tell you that after leaving that press conference with President Putin, I was swarmed by a few Russian reporters. They wanted to know if I was satisfied by his answer. And my response was what it had been all day, David. No comment.
Which is the right answer. Rachel Scott, we appreciate your tough questioning of Putin today. Now to the question I asked right here last night on the broadcast, how will success be measured by the U.S. as we go forward? So let's bring back in Chief Anchor, Global Affairs Anchor Martha Raddatz with us all day here. And that's the question as we move forward. How will success be achieved? President Biden, fiery on this late today.
He was fiery on it late today, but I think he sees this as a success. He did exactly what he wanted to do. He had a face-to-face meeting with Vladimir Putin, laid out the law, told him what he had to do. Again, it'll take a long time to do that, but I think President Biden is right. He did what he came here to do.
And this is precisely what Secretary of State Antony Blinken told you just days ago, that it would take time.
And it will. It will take weeks. It will take months. It will take a year. It will take long into the future. There are no promises at this point, but they're out of the starting gate.
All right, Martha, great to have you by my side throughout the whole coverage here. And one more important note on this tonight. President Biden also said he spoke with Vladimir Putin about two Americans, two former Marines wrongfully imprisoned in Russia, Paul Whelan, who is 51, Trevor Reed, who is 29. The president with a message to their families. And back home, one family was listening in Texas, and Marcus Moore with their reaction tonight.
Tonight, the Texas parents of Trevor Reed reacting to what they heard from President Biden following the summit. No promise Trevor is coming home, but they are grateful President Biden brought up their son with Vladimir Putin.
It was great to hear those words. I think it's huge. I do. I really think it's huge. And then we have the last big final step for him to come home.
President Biden saying he raised the case of their son Trevor and Paul Whelan, both former Marines, both held in separate cases, trumped up charges in Russian jails. The family giving this audio of their son in prison.
I spent my whole life in the service of my country, and I would appreciate it if my country would help to bring me home in this difficult situation back to my family.
President Biden said to the families watching back in the U.S., we're going to follow through with that discussion. I am not going to walk away on that issue.
This is really what our whole goal in life has been for the almost the last 2 years.
It is surreal, but like I said, it's what we've been working towards for almost 2 years. So we're glad that it finally happened today.
Marcus with us now. They say they're glad it's finally happening. We know Trevor Reed's parents know that doesn't necessarily mean he's coming home, but that by saying it's finally happening, just the discussion in this very public way that President Biden brought this up today with Vladimir Putin, and tonight they're telling you they're grateful. Are they in contact with the State Department regularly on this?
David, it's encouraging for them. And one of the things the State Department told them, though, is not to get overly excited about the prospect of Trevor being released, that it will take some time. The Reeds tonight say they hope the momentum will continue so that their son and the other American, Paul Whelan, will get closer to being freed. David.
We're so glad you got their reaction tonight for us. Marcus Moore in Texas, thank you. Now to the other major news we're following this Wednesday night, the coronavirus back at home, the growing concern about the Delta variant first seen in India. highly transmissible and potentially more severe. Tonight, described as COVID on steroids and what authorities are now seeing in the U.S., spreading quickly, and what you should know. And we've also learned they're now studying at least 80 countries with reported cases of mutations of this variant already. Here's ABC's Whit Johnson tonight.
Tonight, the Delta variant threatening to derail progress against the pandemic. The highly contagious strain now identified in at least 37 states.
If you're living in a part of the country where there is a low degree of vaccination, or if you yourself are not vaccinated, you're clearly vulnerable because this is basically COVID-19 on steroids.
Officials have warned the Delta variant is more transmissible and may cause more severe disease. Some states with lower vaccination rates seeing a nearly 20% increase in COVID cases over the last 2 weeks. In Tennessee, where just a third of the state is fully vaccinated, the Delta variant is already taking hold. At least 10 cases in the Memphis area.
We have made tremendous progress, and we don't want to lose what we've gained.
The Delta variant, first identified in India, now making up about 90% of cases in the UK. Some experts warn it could become the dominant strain here in the US.
It is far more contagious than any variant we have seen throughout this entire pandemic. It also appears to be a little bit more deadly for people who get infected.
But vaccines appear to be effective against it, and reports suggest some symptoms of the Delta variant may be more prevalent.
Headaches and sore throat are the kind of key features of this variant. Whether that'll hold up in larger data, we don't know, but it's something definitely to keep an eye on.
And David, the Delta variant has now been identified, according to the World Health Organization, in more than 80 countries. Officials are also tracking so-called Delta Plus variants, which have additional mutations, something they're watching very closely. David.
And of course, we'll stay on this. Whit Johnson tonight. Whit, thank you. We're going to turn next this evening to the historic heat in the U.S. 45 million Americans now dealing with temperatures above 100. The hottest start to June on record in some places. And in the Gulf of Mexico tonight, a tropical system is now brewing. It could hit the U.S. this weekend. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tracking it all again tonight for us. Hey, Rob.
Hey, David. Just an unrelenting heat wave with very little cooling over the next few days. Records continue to fall. Tucson likely to get the sixth day in a row of 110-plus temperatures. Look at these excessive heat warnings across several states, and temperatures will hover at or above 100 degrees in many of these cities through Saturday. Meanwhile, the tropics, this thing is likely to become a tropical depression over the next 2 days. Regardless of development, it will bring heavier rain to the Gulf Coast, and this area completely saturated. Flash flooding coming. David?
Rob Marciano with us. Rob, thank you. A disturbing discovery in Van Horn, Texas tonight. U.S. Border Patrol agents say they got a tip uncovering an alleged human smuggling operation. They found a locked U-Haul near a McDonald's with 33 people crammed inside as the temperature neared 100. All were suffering from heat-related sickness. At least a dozen were hospitalized. There is an investigation underway tonight. When we come back here on the broadcast, the kidnapping suspect shot and killed by FBI agents searching for a kidnapped victim. And the cruise ship postponing its voyage already after 8 crew members test positive for COVID and what we've learned about their vaccinations.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems. It's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We have learned a kidnapping suspect was shot and killed by FBI agents in Leonia, New Jersey. Agents executing a search warrant at an apartment early this morning looking for a 17-year-old kidnapping victim from Philadelphia. The suspect was shot and killed after confronting authorities. The victim was found unharmed. The massive new cruise ship about to set sail, 8 crew members testing positive for COVID, and what we've learned about their vaccination shots. Royal Caribbean postponing the launch of its newest cruise ship after 8 crew members tested positive for COVID. The Odyssey of the Seas was set to leave Florida on July 3rd. The company says the crew was vaccinated, but that it had not been a full 2 weeks after that final shot when you're most protected. All 1,400 crew members now quarantined. The final image today here in Geneva, you likely didn't see it. It said it all. A final note tonight, some of the images you likely didn't see. That handshake the world saw, but not from this angle, of course. Reporters from across the globe shouting out questions to the leaders. Once inside, the image we didn't see, the private greeting inside that villa. After the news conference, President Biden departing in his motorcade. And 2 final images tonight, the Russian presidential plane taking off from Geneva Airport. And at 2:41 Eastern, Air Force One departing to President Biden heading back to the United States after this historic summit. The president saying here today that coming months will tell if U.S.-Russia relations will improve. Thank you for watching our coverage here. I'm David Muir. I'll see you tomorrow night from New York.